Appreciate that. First time I heard him sing that, I thought, man, that is powerful in a message. And if you listen to the music and the words of many of the songs, if not all the songs that he sings, they're sermons within themselves. And I always think of that song, I think of the depravity of man and how sinful that we all are, and thank God for his amazing grace and his love and kindness to us. And God knows that he, you know, I've had people say that to me, down through the years, when I've tried to witness to different individuals, and they say, oh, Pastor, you don't know what I've done or where I've been. You don't know. I said, I don't need to know, and you don't need to tell me. The thing I know this is God's saving grace, God's blood will cover all your sin, past, present, future, and he's willing to save even any person, any walk of life. And he's a powerful, powerful God. You know, I appreciate, Ron, I appreciate you and Tammy doing that this morning on the apple pie. I did take it over. It's on my desk and the ice cream, so I'm going to dig into that, but I haven't yet, so I'm going to. But it made me think about a lot of that today. Yeah, it was exactly 50 years ago. Matter of fact, I look on the ordination certificate, and it was exactly the same date, August 25th, and I thought, 1974. Man, I'll tell you what, I remember that. It was in this hour, matter of fact, this hour right now. On that day that we're going through the ordination service that Sunday night at the old Calvary and Baptist Church, you know, and I think down through that made me think today of a little bit, and we're going to be in our Bible in 3 John, if you want to find your place in 3 John, about servant leadership. And, you know, before I got to Calvary over here in Wayne in 1974, my wife and I arrived there in May 1974, I'd only been a Christian, six years. I'd only been saved 6 years, surrendered to the ministry at 19, and then graduated Bible college at age 22, and I ended up coming to Wayne at age 22. Turned 23 in September, a month later, so I was almost 23 years old at that time. But I think about this in servant leadership, the people that God puts in your life that has had such an impact on your life down through being saved that long or down through the ministry of those years. I'd have to go back to the time I got saved. The man that led me to Christ was my youth pastor, Dean R. Bainey, led me to Christ, Mansfield, Ohio. My senior pastor at that time was Tommy Leatherwood. Those two men had a profound impact. The day I got saved and began to open my mind and my heart to the gospel and a hunger for the Bible. I had a Sunday school teacher. My first Sunday school teacher was Dr. Harold Reinhart. Taught a 10th high school boys Sunday school class. Doc was a chiropractor that had a practice in Loudonville, Ohio, country chiropractor in Loudonville, Ohio, and he made the Bible fun. He brought it alive. He made it enjoyable. He made it enticing for young high school guys to come to Sunday school and go to church. And I always thought it was interesting. He was dating the church organist at the time. And then while we were in high school, they got married together. And I remember going to Doc's wedding and that. Those men, I think about servant leadership, what a profound impact. Then I transferred and go to Texas. And Dr. Earl K. Odom, president of the seminary, had a huge impact. All my professors did. But Raymond Barber, the Barbers back here, Brother Earl and Phyllis know the Barber family. And Raymond Barber had a huge impact in those early formative years. And during that time, and the professors there at the college. And then I'd have to say here in Wayne, Michigan, Weldon Spracklin had such a huge impact in those early times. But more than that, when I think about servant leadership, I think about all the godly men. I'm not talking about pastors that are in those churches. I'm talking about all the godly servants, the godly men in the church that had a profound impact. One of my first ones was right after I got saved, was a man by the name of Chuck Dilley. Chuck was one of the men in the church. He had three high school boys, his sons, that I went to high school with, and they were just full of life and energy and most of the time trouble. And I'll never forget, right after I got saved, Chuck Dilley came up to me one day in church. He said, hey, young man, he said, now that you're saved And now that you know the Lord, he said, you need to learn how to win somebody else to Christ. This is one of the deacons in the church. He said, you need to learn how to win somebody else to Christ. So why don't you come here and go with me on this, I think it was a Tuesday evening, and we'll go knock on some doors, and maybe the Lord will give us an opportunity to win somebody else to Christ. So it was a godly deacon that stepped in and helped me as a 16-year-old high school student at that time. So Chuck Dilley, servant leadership, I think about that. I think about so many down through the years. I think about the old days of Calvary. Some of these names you'll remember. I don't know if you remember Bruce Scudder. You remember the Scudder family? I don't know if you remember Bruce. Tom and Helen Allen. Remember the Allens? I don't know if you remember them, but Tom Allen had an influence, huge influence on me. I remember going to Tom's home and that. So many of the Beggs family, Larry and Jeanette's father, or Larry's father, Mr. Beggs, and that being around him and all that. The men over there, Ken Rohn. I don't know if anybody remembers Ken Rohn, good old Ken Rohn. That Ken and I shared an office together. My office, when you went down at the old Calvary, I went down the stairs and turned to the left, was in that office. That's where Ken counted the money. They took half of that, made an office for me, and the men, that some of the deacons there, they counted the money and had a safe on the wall, and they did. But Ken Rohn, Ken and I spent a lot of time together, and he loved going to Bethel Youth Camp and had a profound impact. I think down through so many. Eddie McMillian, another one. Eddie was just huge in my life that had an impact from a very early time. I've gone ice fishing with him. I've gone deer hunting with him. I've stayed in his home many times. When we pastored in South Dakota, we'd come back here, and McMillians would always open their door, and Nita and I and the kids would stay at Eddie and Joanne's place over in Wayne. And so many families, servant leadership down through the years. I think of so many even here. To this day, I miss Dick Hook and good old Dick. I spent a lot of time, Dick. I remember after Marie went to heaven, and Dick came to me one day and he said, "Hey," he said, "Marie's in heaven now." He said, "I got to do something with my time. Is there anything I can do around here?" And I said, "Well, we need grass mowed." And he said, "I'll do it." So Dick, when in his 80s at that time, jumped on a lawnmower, started mowing grass around here, mowed it almost up until he died at age 90, 93. But Dick and I made visits, it seems like thousands of visits, and one of the most godly men I know, and I really enjoyed my time. Servant leadership. We're going to look here in 3 John about servant leadership, in our lives. And many of you could give testimony tonight of people that impacted your life from the day of your salvation on through your Christian life today. And we're going to look at some things here about servant leadership and in the book. It's a very short book, just a few short verses here, only 14 verses. And that, so when you look at it here, that really talks about servant leadership and some important things that we can glean out of it. And man, I could sit down and write a book over the last 50 years of servant leadership, people that has really had an impact in the for the cause of Christ. In my life, my family's life, and so much to be thankful for. Notice here in 3 John, verse 1, John writes this, the Apostle John, he said, "The elder, unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." And beloved, notice how many times he says beloved here. "Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth." He said, "I wrote unto the church," that would be the church at Ephesus now. He said, "I wrote unto the church at Ephesus here, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved," here's that word again, "beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, But he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius hath a good report of all men, and of truth itself. Yea, we also bear record, and you know that our record is true. He said, I have many things to write, but I will not write with ink and pen write unto thee, but I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee, our friends salute thee, greet thy the friends by name. So with a lot of things going on here in this text, the main Bible carries, obviously he's talking about the elder John, the apostle John here that wrote this. And Gaius here is the person that to whom the letter was addressed. Gaius was a convert of the apostle John. So kind of really like treating him as a part of your family, a real connection when you lead someone to Christ and then you invest in their life. Diotrephes here, you notice here, Diotrephes at the church at Ephesus was a leading member in the church to which Gaius belonged and to whom John wrote the epistle. But he had a domineering attitude that made him an obstacle to the progress of the church. You know, I think about so many things. Churches are made up of personalities. Churches are made up of people and in the body of Christ. And one of the things the Bible teaches in the body of Christ is that we are to be unified and to be in harmony together and to be in a oneness together. And when you bring in different people, that's why God puts different servant leadership within a church body. I think one of the best servant leaders that I ever had the privilege to work with was the chairman of my deacon board out in South Dakota was an architect. And his name was Bob Whitenauer. He owned an architect firm in Sioux Falls. And Bob grew up as a PK, preacher's kid. His father, John, was a pastor from Billings, Montana. And I always should tell Bob, I said, Bob, I think you're called to the ministry, man. He was really a man that he would be in a church, what you would say is a peacemaker, a fence builder, a bridge in the gap. He's always somebody that made everybody feel welcome. He was the glue, the kind of the bond that kind of helped in the church. Many meetings, and Bob Whitenauer would sit there. He just had a way, and I think he learned that as a business skill. As an architect, he would oftentimes have to work with construction workers and businesses, and he designed high schools and hospitals throughout South Dakota and Minnesota and that area there. And so I had a chance to spend a lot of time with Bob. The firm had an airplane. Matter of fact, not long after I got to the church, Bob said, hey, you're a pilot, right? And I said, I am. And he said, well, here's keys to the firm's airplane. He said, you can use the plane wherever the firm's not using it. Just check the logbook. Make sure it's not being scheduled somewhere. All you got to do is put gas in it. And I said, seriously? He said, yeah. I said, wherever you need to go somewhere, just take the firm's plane and off you go. So I took the plane. It was Beechcraft, Beech Bonanzas, and I'd fly back and forth to Texas. I'd fly out to Ohio and all over South Dakota and all over the Midwest up to Montana. And so Bob just had a minister, a heart's desire as a servant leader, and was really a peacemaker, but a man that could really pull a lot of people together, especially in large construction projects. So when you think about what's going on here with Demetrius here in the Bible, though, talked about Diotrephes, but Demetrius is the disciple that John praised in this letter to Gaius. And so if you look here in this, only these 14 verses, we find that 3 John is probably the most personal letter that John writes. It's written to Gaius, as we said, one of the few letters, one of the only few letters addressed directly to a person. Philemon would be another one. And we know nothing is really known about Gaius other than that John was addressing this letter to him. And so here in 3 John, it really focuses on the issue of hospitality, but hospitality from a different perspective. John condemns the lack. If you look at it again in verse 9 and verse 10, John here condemns the lack of hospitality shown to faithful ministers of the word. He said, I wrote unto the church in verse 9 at Ephesus there, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. So we find it became a real issue. And so reports came back to the Apostle John here that that itinerant teachers, known and approved by John, had traveled to a certain congregation where they were refused hospitality. And, you know, if you think about churches and when we come together this morning, even this morning here, we had several visitors on the way out. And make sure you always take a chance when you see somebody on the Lord's Day and Sunday morning to get around, meet them, talk to them, shake their hand, and look for the new person and be hospitable, be friendly, be outgoing, and try to make them feel welcome and that as they come to visit the Lord's house. Diotrephes here went even further. He also was verbally slandered here by the Apostle John with malicious accusations and excluded anyone from the assembly in verse 10 there who really desired to challenge him. Let's break this down, if you will. Let's go back to verse 1. Notice the elder. John here, he's talking about the elder unto the well-beloved. The elder would be John. And probably a reference to his age, his apostolic eyewitness here of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he refers here to beloved. It's only used as a reference to Christians, to believers. He says beloved in verse 2, verse 5, beloved in verse 5. Get down to verse 11, beloved again, those in the church. And they had special meaning to him. Gaius, nothing is really known about him other than what we read here. But it was a popular name. He said, whom I love in the truth. And you notice here he refers to him, what, I think four times here. Once here in verse 1. Then in verse 2, he refers, beloved, he said, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as I so prospereth. And we do know when you get down to the end of the chapter here, he talks about coming and visiting him in person, face to face. He says, whom I love in the truth. Notice in verse 2, he says, I pray. John's prayer for Gaius is significant. Notice the prayer here. In servant leadership, he's saying here, beloved, I wish above all that you may prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. So it's one thing to pray for somebody's prosperity, but here John's praying for his soul, for his physical well-being, for his health well-being, talking about here the importance of praying one for another. So Gaius here practiced hospitality not only towards those whom he knew, but to those whom he did not know. I would say almost every Sunday, probably every Sunday, somebody will say, pray for me. This is going on. Pray for me about this. And as people come and go. So you pray for people as they have physical needs, but you also pray for people as they have spiritual needs and things that spiritually that's going on in their life. Notice in verse 3, when the brethren came, he says here, for I rejoice greatly when the brethren came, they testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. So we, as Christians, we're to continually praise and Gaius here as his obedience to the fundamentals of the faith. Gaius's reputation was well known. You think about that, our reputation will live on. One of these days, you and I will not be here, only our reputations and what we've done, the seeds that we planted, the life that we've lived will be left behind us. And so here for Gaius, he says, you walk what in truth? In other words, Gaius here, when it talks about in verse 3, you walk in truth, testify to the truth that is in thee. It's kind of like here, Gaius, his walk matched his talk. So he just didn't talk a good Christian life. He actually walked it and carried it out. So John commends him for that. His actions were in stark contrast. If you look at verse 3, compare that to verse 10 of Diotrephes. And completely opposite of those in servant leadership. You know, servant leadership has always been an interesting thing. Sometimes, I'll be honest with you, down through the years, and servant leadership here in the Bible, I've seen situations where you have Gaius is in the church and you have Diotrephes in the church. You have situations here where you see here in the scripture where, matter of fact, you know, I remember one time we were had a situation develop, and I needed to take somebody with me, one of my deacons. So I got a hold of Bob Weidenauer. I said, Bob, I need you to help me out. I need you to go make a visit with me. And so we went to make the visit. I said, I don't know how this is going to turn out. So if you don't have the stomach for it, you don't need to go. He said, no. He said, I'll go. So we go. And it's the only time in 50 years of ministry, I've only got kicked out of one house. I mean, almost physically. Not quite physically. But it was like, you get up and leave and get out and don't ever come back. And I won't get into the depths of all that, but my point is I had Bob Weidenauer with me that night on that visit, and Bob was the peacemaker. Bob was the one that bridged the gap. Bob was the one that was able to help in servant leadership to be able to bridge through a very difficult, challenging situation and that. And so God raises up the Gaiuses in church. He did so in Ephesus. God raises up the individuals here that he talks about. And even though you see here in the Bible, will allow even the Diotrephes that sometimes will show up in the Lord's work. But notice what John said in verse 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. You know what made John happy was the fact that those that he led to Christ, nothing will make a person happier than to know somebody that you've invested your life in, poured your time in, won them to Christ, or discipled them in Christ, and they have continued on serving the Lord. Think about this. One of these days, you and I will not be here. So it's only who you invest in and who you leave behind and who you disciple and who you have a part of that can carry on the work of the Lord. And so you find that here. John realized that. He said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Notice here, and it says here, my children, John's heart here was really of the children in the faith. Those who walk in the truth have integrity. There's no difference between professing and living and those that had a strong fatherly affection for them. I think down through the years, it's a privilege to be able to win individuals to Christ. And every once in a while, one will stand out. Like right now, I don't know if you, I think I've shared this with you before. Dale Brown, our missionary, in New Zealand, is really struggling with his health. And just pray for them right now. I know Dale and Janet, I had the privilege to lead Dale to Christ. And that one of the things that they're going to have to face in upcoming times is when to retire, when to step down. Dale's had a stroke, and I don't know how long they'll be able to continue to do that. They do have help in New Zealand, but I've been communicating back and forth with Dale and Janet in New Zealand. And you hate to see that because you invest in people's lives and you see them, but it's all in the work of the Lord. And so just pray for Dale and Janet Brown in New Zealand and to see what God's going to do in their life and through them and through their ministry and the works that they have established there in New Zealand. Look in verse 5. He said, Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. In other words, genuine faith always produces good works and to be faithful. Faithfulness, faithfulness, faithfulness. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren. And thank the Lord for faithfulness, brethren. And not only that, Gaius here practiced hospitality, not only toward those whom he knew, but also to them who he did not know. So when you talk about servant leadership, let me give you another one. It's a person that has always been close to me, and I've been in their home, did youth rallies with their son, Harold and Pat Rosie, good old Rosie. I have known Rosie since, matter of fact, I think his signature's on my ordination certificate. I've known them since 1974. I used to go and do, when I was a youth pastor at Calvary and Wayne, their son, Mickey, was the youth pastor at Flint Baptist Temple up in Flint. So their youth department, our youth department, would get together and we'd do retreats and things together. And Mickey was always a lot of fun to go and do things with. But I've always been with Rosie. Rosie was one of those guys, never met a stranger. I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but oftentimes in church, he would go up to somebody that he didn't know and say, hey, good to see you, or whatever, and meet them, shake their hand, and we're going to eat over here at so-and-so. Why don't you come and go with us? And time again, Rosie and Pat would take somebody along, total stranger in church. They didn't even know. If you knew Rosie, you weren't a stranger to him. And so he was always hospitable and friendly to those, both the brethren and to total strangers. Notice in verse 6, He said here in verse 6, which have borne witness of thy charity, thy love before the church. So Gaius had this reputation before the church, whom if thou would bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Gaius' reputation for hospitality and kindness was also well known throughout the churches and the regions and that area. And so, in a manner worthy of God is treating people as God would have you treat them. And that's the key manner in which they are to do so. He said here, you will do well. John encouraged Gaius to keep practicing hospitality, especially because of the actions of Diotrephes showed up a little bit later here. Notice in verse 7 and verse 8, John gives here several grounds for practicing hospitality in a manner that's worthy. And he says in verse 7, because for his name's sake, they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such that we might be what? Here it is now, fellow helpers to the truth. So here, one must show hospitality, those who have a pure motive. And I don't know about you, but the missionary that's today on his way out thanked me several times for the opportunity to come to Canton and to be here and to share his heartbeat and his love. I don't know about you, but I think it was a real blessing to have them here today and their heartbeat for the Lord, and to realize that you and I can't go to India. Well, I guess you could if you want to surrender and go. But it gives you and I an opportunity to hook up with somebody like this that goes to India and preaches the gospel, shares their faith. We'll have many more connections there of reaching people for Christ. And so you and I will have the opportunity to partner with them in getting the gospel. And he appreciated and said to me several times today the friendliness and the hospitality of our folks here at the church. So when you look at it here in verse 7 and verse 8, it's showing hospitality for the right reason. Those who show hospitality participate in the ministries of those who hospitality is shown in verse 8. And we become fellow helpers to the truth. Notice John says here, he said, I wrote to the church at Ephesus. So John had a previous letter to the church, but evidently it was lost. Perhaps Diotrephes here never read it. I don't know, whatever it was. But Diotrephes here is who loves, the Bible says here, preeminence. Preeminence is always the idea of wanting to be first. He says here, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. That is not a portrait, as that is not a picture of being a servant leader. Servant leadership is always about putting others first and elevating others and lifting others up. So Diotrephes here, his actions directly contradict Jesus and the New Testament teaching on what servant leadership is really all about. He says here, he does not receive us. Diotrephes modeled the opposite of kindness, the opposite of hospitality, and the opposite of God's servants. And you know, I just share with you, I had somebody come up to me this morning and say, Pastor, pray for me. Something happened the other day, and it was not good, and it was ugly, and it really had to do with this idea of some things were said that shouldn't have been said, or things were not hospitable. And I tried to tell them, I said, look, you just got to rise above that. And they said, oh, no, you don't understand. And so I would talk to them at great length, prayed with them. And so things will happen in the ministry, in the lives of people, that not everybody's going to be hospitable. Not everybody's always going to be friendly. Not everybody's always going to take the high road. And that's exactly what happened here in the church with Diotrephes here. It says he does not receive us. His pride endeavored to supplant the role of Christ through John and the church. Diotrephes' character was the very opposite of who Gaius was. Really gives you a contrast of Gaius in the church and Diotrephes in the church. Notice in verse 10, he said, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds. Now, I kind of think of verse 10 as, here's John, the authority figure. He said, wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth. It's kind of like Diotrephes is saying, if I come to Ephesus, I'll be sure to talk to Diotrephes. And you know, that's where in the church there's always got to be a peacemaker, a bond maker, somebody that bridges the gap, and that's really what John was to do here. John did not overlook this situation in the church. He said I'll remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, and neither doth he himself receive the brethren, forbidding them that the world casteth them out of the church. So when you look at it, we need more and more Gaiuses in the church. the church and the Church of Christ, we do not need the Diotrephes here in the ministry. Now, Diotrephes was guilty, I think, here in the Bible of four simple things. It says here, prating against us, talking nonsense, charges that he brought, he really bringing charges against John the Apostle. Secondly, was these malicious words. And one of the things you can will find out is occasionally, sometimes people will say things. I never thought I would ever hear this again in 50 years of ministry. Sometimes, many times, the brethren, the beloved, the Christian, the believers can be kind and sweet and generous in what they say. And there are times when, if you're not careful, in Christianity, some of the most cutting and cruel and slicing to the core of the heart can be words that will come out of a Christian's mouth that ought not to be so. There's always going to be the Gaiuses in the church. There's always going to be, perhaps, every once in a while, Diotrephes along the way. So, you know, we were always told, you know, if you can't say anything kind, don't say anything at all. Just keep it to yourself. Don't say anything. And but here, one of the downsides of Diotrephes that he was guilty of was saying malicious words in the church at Ephesus. And the third thought is that does not receive the brethren, that he's slandered or found fault with whatever was going on. Find it interesting that, you know, if you want to find fault, no matter where you go, you can always find it. You're going to find that wherever you go. Diotrephes was one of those kind of people. If you're looking for it, you're going to find it along the way. I don't care where you go. You can look at it at any pastor, any worship leader, any praise team, any congregation, any deacon, any church. You can always look for. You're going to find what you're looking for. And that's what Diotrephes was doing right here. And then notice here, the fourth thing I think about Diotrephes was putting them out of the church. Diotrephes' habit was really to influence, and those that resisted his authority of really saying things or doing things to get him to leave the church. And how difficult and what a challenge that is. So here's what he gives to us in summary. He says, beloved, and here's how he kind of pulls it all together for us. Beloved, in verse 11, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. That's the simplest way I think that John kind of summarizes. There's more opportunity to do good and to plant the right seeds along the way than to do and to plant the evil along the way. So here we find, do not imitate that which is evil, but that which is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. Demetrius, as with Gaius, Demetrius was a very common name in the Roman world at that time. We don't know a lot more about him other than it shows up here, a little bit here in this book. And so when you think about these Bible characters, servant leadership, Gaius was the beloved servant. Diotrephes is the one who loved to have the preeminence among them. Demetrius was the one that became a role model and a godly example in the Lord's work. You know, and so it's interesting to see as we serve the Lord, we all become servant leaders in different areas, and the seeds that we plant, the seeds that are sown, the impact you can have for the cause of Christ. Choose always that which is good, and God will reward and God will bless that which is good. Heavenly Father, God, we love you tonight. Thank you for servant leadership. We thank you most of all for the Lord Jesus and his servant leadership, always showing kindness, always showing hospitality, always showing the good side of life. And Father, we just thank you for the example that the Lord Jesus set for all of us. We thank you for the Gospel of John. We thank you for John's writings here in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And how important it is that 1st John, that he talks about love, and he talks about the importance of influencing others for the cause of Christ. And so God, may we be of that reputation. May we be that person of hospitality. May we be that one that always shows kindness and uplifting and encouragement and exhortation in the body of Christ as we serve you. Thank you. We have the opportunities to be servant leaders. And God, I thank you for all those down through the years and those that have had an impact on this church and on this ministry in the area of servant leadership down through church history. And so, God, we love you tonight. Thank you for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.